What is the European Union, or EU as it is also commonly known, and how it functions is something that keeps puzzling many, even within Europe. And indeed, it may be a tricky question to give a quick answer to. Not to mention the extent to which the EU is similar or different from the United States, and if it is correct to compare them, and when. Looking on the internet, from formal or official sources, including the EU itself, to various social media, including YouTube, we find all sorts of attempts at illustrating what experts perhaps a bit pompously call this supranational organization, which makes me think of some sort of superhero, which the EU is quite clearly not. To the other extreme, sometimes I have the impression the EU is a bit the sum of the collective national stereotypes of the states that are members to it. And this is a bit frustrating, especially when stereotypical jokes come up even in formal contexts such as high-level professional meetings and talks. And this happens more or less explicitly more often than it should. And yet, the very fact that stereotypes survive so strongly, even at the highest levels, corroborates the image that I'm about to draw to explain what the EU is and how it works. I am Matteo Vaccarincisa, and I have taught and researched public international law, international economic law, and European Union law for a number of years, and I find that the best way to teach something, especially something as abstract as the law, comes best if you manage to convey a concept through an image, an analogy, or a metaphor that the person who listens is used to or has confidence with. Well, I believe that most of us are used to the three concepts and images that I'm about to use. The first are common ways to refer to the European Union. I will build on those to offer a third image, I believe more accurate, to explain what the EU is, one that let understand also how it will work in most future situations. The first is one of the metaphors that we hear often used these days of dealing with the impact caused by the ongoing pandemic on the healthcare and economy of many states. It is the idea, the very clear image, that we're all on the same boat. In the context of the European Union, this image implies that if one large state that is part of the Union, let's say Italy, does not manage to weather an economic crisis and goes legs up in the air, it will drag the rest of the Union down with it. The second common way of talking about the EU is, pandemic aside, that of comparing it with the United States of America. For instance, pro-European Union people typically dream of some United States of Europe. Also, European people engaged in economic work, in particular trade, are used to compare the EU's aggregate performance as a single entity directly to that of the US. Well, both examples, the idea that the EU is a boat and the direct comparison with the US, do not really help understanding what the EU is about and how it works. The boat idea is just too dramatic and ultimately not true. A boat implies that those who are on it are being led towards a certain destination. By whom, by the way? Or if things go sideways, that passengers are bound to drown together. This union of destiny through the image of the boat is just not right, as European Union or not, its members are expected, as sovereign and independent nations, to find their way, as do the other 170 plus states that are out there in the world. Let me just remind here that there is plenty of small states out there that are wealthier than any state in the EU, but also that there are several very large states we possibly wouldn't want to move into. The EU is an association of states, a quite tight one, no doubt, but still an association that is based, like any association, on the notion of reciprocal benefits of those that are party to it. The EU is not some union of destiny out of necessity, at least not for most of its members. On the other hand, to directly compare the EU with the US doesn't make much sense in institutional terms, besides the international trade level, which is indeed the one competence that the EU manages autonomously from its member states. However, in 99% of the cases, the federal government of the United States can do a host of things the European Union administration in Brussels cannot even dream of. Now, to understand at a figurative level the difference between the two, and especially in the way they work, let me make a basic living arrangement comparison. Think of the US as a house. A very large house, one with 50 rooms, well, quite a mansion, no doubt, with a couple of dependants, with all respect for Puerto Rico and the likes. The US Constitution is the agreement by which this family, progressively enlarged to 50, agreed upon to live together under the same roof. A roof that is owned by a single person, or in this case entity, the federal government. Now, think of the European Union instead like a condominium, which I'll now simply refer as condo. A beautiful condo, comprising 27 apartments, from Germany's large penthouse to Malta's studio's apartment by the entrance. The agreement here between the apartment owners, or homeowner association if you like, which out of the analogy are two EU basic treaties, this agreement is limited to the management of the common areas, the stairs, elevators, parking lot, the garden, and the management of these common areas is entrusted upon to the European Union. What is the difference between the mansion and the condo? Well, most of us can immediately feel it, I think. In a house, the owner, and head of this family of 50 that lives in it, can decide pretty much everything about it. Of course, you should not be too nosy on what's going on inside the rooms in normal circumstances, even though it can access them anytime it wishes to. There's no lock at any door inside the house, no matter the teenagers living in it. Also, those occupying the various rooms still need to make use of the common kitchen once or twice a day, or very important, the toilet, and they will always need to pass through the common alley to get in and out of their rooms. To carry on, they need the other parts of the house. These common areas, like those that I just mentioned, out of the analogy that I'm using, are, for instance, foreign relations, defense, and healthcare. The EU, on the other hand, is nothing of the sort. Indeed, it's not a house. Even the smallest condo unit here has got a kitchen. Well, in some cases more of a kitchenette. And it enjoys the use of its own toilet, which is quite an essential thing for anyone who wants to be considered free from burdens. The European Union consists of a bunch of property owners in a condo, and the primary function of the EU institution is that of managing the fairly limited common areas with the fairly modest budget available. By the same analogy, the resources available to the condo manager are only a tiny fraction of those the apartment owners dispose of, and are paid annually and determined in accordance with the fraction of property of each unit. Again, quite like a condo. And like in many condos, gossip between neighbors, and about other neighbors, is a matter of course. And these, to reconnect to the point I made earlier on national stereotypes. These common areas have been agreed upon back at a time with the agreement establishing the condo. And to change it, as you know, it requires pretty hefty majorities, when not the outright unanimity, of apartment owners. Look also at this difference. The US federal government, as the owner of the mansion and the head of its 50-strong family, has its own resources, which it collects and owns as the owner of the house and spends freely as it thinks best fit. For instance, in military purchases, without any family members from any room having much say on it. Anyway, not much effective say. Also, no one can really get out of the house, nor anyone can talk to anybody else outside of it. Now, put like this, it seems more as a penitentiary than a house, but that's not what I mean, of course. This is just a side effect of the analogy. Please bear with me. In fact, much differently, the EU administration, as the manager of the condo, has only got the resources to manage the common areas, but even here, for any matter out of the ordinary business, to spend common resources or gather in extra, the manager needs to ask first to the condo board. Also, all apartment owners do entertain relations with people outside of the condo, meaning that even Malta's presidents get invited on occasion to the White House, does he? Do you feel obliged to let the condo manager in if he or she knocks at your door unannounced? Or would you consider appropriate for the condo manager to tell you how you should arrange your furniture and decorate your home? Indeed, no. And indeed, the European Union institutions have no say whatsoever on the way member states run their state. Of course, there's always the exception of major renovations that need to be shared with the condo administration because, let's say, you don't want to tear down a barren wall. Out of the analogy, this is, for instance, the quite concerning reform of the judiciary that the Polish executive is pushing through, which has triggered, to simplify, a letter of complaint from the union. But even in these limited and quite exceptional cases, the actual power of a condo manager is quite limited. A letter of complaint, as Deb just mentioned, or threatening you with a fine, or to take you to court. In most cases, however, to become real, any of this will be conditional on the consent of the other owners in the condo, like anything that is out of the ordinary business. Well, be that as it may, let's look at it also this way. As someone who lives in an apartment, let's also look at this from the perspective of ownership. Here, for instance, those who have the largest units in a condo, which in this case would be Germany, a tad below France, another tad below Italy, then farther below Spain, Poland, the Netherlands, etc., etc. So the owners of the largest units, which in any combination may even have the relative majority of the votes on the board, can no doubt influence or even steer the topic on the agenda for discussion, and perhaps even the outcome of certain decisions. But they can't really decide just by themselves for everybody else, just as such. To get to absolute majority or super majorities, let's not even mention the unanimity, it is each time a matter of negotiations. All the others can always vote against this or that use of the common areas and anyway remain at all times the sole lords of their own homes. Here is, in a nutshell, what I believe an effective image to represent the EU and how it works. As a great deal of people live, after all, in apartment units, in condos, and have at least some experience on how this. Hence, to quickly recap. First, the EU is not a boat, as EU member states are not some happy party cruising together towards some blissful destination, nor are they a bunch of convicts chained to the lower deck of a gaol works, sharing all the same miserable fate in case sinking of the ship. But the common areas there are part of the house, including bathrooms and the kitchen that everybody needs multiple times a day, well, if he or she is a healthy person, while room occupants can't really survive very long locked up indefinitely in their rooms. Third and last, the EU is like a condo, as its members are independent sovereign nations that have pooled some modest resources to manage certain common areas while retaining at least nominally all their powers, including that of leaving the condo itself, as we're seeing these days with Brexit. Second, the EU is not a house, like the US is instead, as the US is a single nation made of 50 states, hence a single large house with a single owner and 50 rooms. That is why, at the United Nations, like in any other international organization, the EU still counts for 27, and the US for 1. And yes, the one owning a very large house can end up paying more for certain things than 27 apartments combined. I guess this is the price of luxury. Last joke aside, I hope the analogy was helpful in clarifying a bit the difference between the US and the EU, and to offer a solid image that explains how the EU works and why it is not, nor is likely to become, a single nation anytime soon. If you like this video or podcast, depending on the platform you're using right now, feel free to subscribe to this channel to get notified when the next content will be released. Till the next time. Bye.